how have your experiences with your debut releases compared to book two?
We've talked about this a lot with each other. So this is, I'm like, what do I say publicly? And what should we save for the DMs?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think that, you know, with my first book, the debut, I was a lot more hesitant to do stuff myself. I was a lot more like just kind of waiting on my publisher to do things or communicate stuff to me because I didn't know what I was doing, right? Like, it's the first rodeo. I had no idea what was going on or what I was allowed to do. And my motto with my second book has been, ask for forgiveness, not permission.
What is up, everybody? It's party time here on episode 63 of SFF Addicts. I'm your host, Adrian M. Gibson, and welcome to your weekly dive into the world of science fiction, fantasy, and writing craft. Joining me as always is my co-host, the true to my Han Solo, the joker to my Commander Shepard, and a guest of honor on this most special of episodes, MJ Kuhn. How's it going, MJ?
Hello, hello. I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. And normally I pimp among thieves in the most bodacious way, but I'm going to wait on that. First, a quick note for listeners, the official SFF Addicts Patreon and merch store are live, so check the links in the description to support what we do here. Also, don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favorite podcast app, and subscribe to the FanFiDuck YouTube channel, where this and every other episode of the show is available in full video. Also, a shout out to our two newest patrons on Patreon, Stephanie Suber and Christian Bullock. Thank you so much for supporting us and helping us do what we do here. And now, welcoming today's second guest of honor, Genevieve Gornacek, author of The Witch's Heart and The Weaver and the Witch Queen. How are you, Genevieve?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for being here. So as I teased at the beginning, it is party time, specifically a book launch celebration for both Genevieve and MJ, whose books, The Weaver and the Witch Queen and Thick as Thieves, launch today. So go get yourself some copies. Go buy The Witch's Heart. Go buy Among Thieves. Just fucking support authors that do awesome stuff. And this episode is going to be a bit different than usual. It'll be more freeform, along with me asking questions to both Genevieve and MJ. But to kick this party off, since listeners and viewers are already familiar with MJ, Genevieve, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes. Yes. Hi, yes. I'm Genevieve Gornacek. When I was in college, I wrote a Norse mythology fan fiction for National Novel Writing Month and then sat on it for 7 years. And now it's this. It's a book. It's a whole book. It's called The Witch's Heart. It came out in 2021. And as you said, my next one, The Weaver and the Witch Queen, comes out July 25th, along with Thick as Thieves by MJ.
Woo! Yeah.
This episode is going out on the 25th, so
excellent.
You can get those books as soon as you listen to this episode.
Hooray.
Please do. Genevieve, how did you get into reading in general, but also sci-fi and or fantasy?
Well, I have been an avid reader basically my whole life. The escapism was big with me growing up, so books, you know, were a whole thing you could just dive into and be transported for a while. I got into science fiction and fantasy specifically, and don't laugh, nobody laugh. When
I already set it up, I'm gonna laugh.
Okay, let me paint you a picture. The year was okay. 1999.
I love it already. Everyone
was super excited for Star Wars The Phantom Menace to come out. Ooh, I had picked up like one of those, you know how they did like the movie tie-ins? It was Queen Amidala's journal.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what I was picking up. I just thought it was pretty. And I like have this vivid memory of like following my mom around Walmart carrying this book and just like whining that I wanted this book. And my mom's like, you don't even know what that is. I'm like, but I want it. And so I went home. I got the book. Thanks, Mom. I went home and read it. I made my grandpa take me to see the movie. And, you know, I'm 9 years old. So I'm like, this was the best movie ever. And my grandpa's like, you know, there are three other ones.
And this
right?
one was shit.
And you're like, you know, there are three. And I was like, what? And that was it. Like, that was that was my gateway.
I love that.
That's awesome. You did paint a vivid picture. I'm just imagining you in Walmart whining about your little Queen Amidama.
Right. Yeah. I dressed as her for Halloween. I like was in the, you know, fourth grade bathroom, like painting my face with the makeup. I have pictures. I have photographic evidence of this. And yeah, like from there, I just like I latched onto sci-fi first, like Invader Zim. Lord of the Rings came out a few years later.
Invader Zim
was
deep cut.
Formative. Things that I should not have been watching at 10 and 11 years old.
Dude, yeah, I too was watching that way too young.
Yes, it's like if my mom had walked in at any given moment during that show, especially the one where Zim steals people's organs, she'd be like, you are no longer allowed to watch this television. I met like one of my best friends. We are still friends like 20 something years later, like through that fandom. That was my first fandom.
Wow.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. Like my family had just gotten a computer. And I had just discovered, I was 11, I had just discovered fan fiction.
Oh, a whole wide world.
Okay, so your writing journey. Did you ever write Invader Zim fan fiction?
Absolutely.
Fuck
yes. Absolutely, okay. Yes.
So how
follow-up question, read it?
Absolutely not. Nope.
Okay, elaborate on that, but also like, how did your writerly journey continue? What inspired you to kind of keep on that path?
I was just inspired by the stories around me and kind of wanting to build on them. I went from Invader Zim to Harry Potter fanfic to Avatar the Last Airbender fanfic. Ooh, and we're talking while Avatar was coming out in like 2005. We are back in time.
So okay, MJ told me before we were gonna record, this is a couple days ago, but she's like, you and Genevieve are gonna get along really well. And you're just like
you guys are gonna vibe.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And things kind of happened in the Avatar fandom, and this was very much in the early days. I actually didn't realize how many people liked that show until however many years ago it came on Netflix and everybody collectively lost their minds. I was like, I thought I was the only one. I was like, literally, like in my real life, I didn't know people who liked the show. And then it comes on Netflix and I guess everybody liked the show and we all just didn't know it because we were all just online together. Yeah. But like when I was about like 15, I started writing my own original stuff, like vampire books, that drew pretty heavily on mythology. So I was always kind of like, mythology was also like one of my special interests when I was young. So like, I got to like kind of develop characters and worlds and magic and stuff that way when I was a teenager. None of those stories will ever see the light of day, by the way, because they're just... Yeah, but that's kind of how my journey has gone. And then when I was in college, I wrote, The Witch's Heart. So here we are, over a decade later.
Yeah,
and the second book's coming out.
I think the stuff that we write when we're kids, because my parents have given me things. A lot of it is usually like art combined with writing.
Yeah.
Because I'm also an illustrator, and so it's kind of crazy to see like how my life has progressed in the way where it's like, oh shit, yeah, I ended up doing both of those things.
Yeah.
But it's like some comics that I would write in those like, you know, those like bold colored three ring binders, and it's just full of lined paper comics and stuff that I'm like, I will never fucking show this to anyone. Yep. Maybe my kids, maybe.
Or what about your best friend MJ? You could show her the comics.
I'll mail them to you.
Perfect. Yeah, mail me the comics. And then Genevieve, I'm sure you have a fanfic about brooding Zuko. And you can share that with me too.
You just read me like a book.
Yes.
Oh, it was Zuko OC. Okay. Oh. Like there obviously.
Go. There we go.
Obviously.
Like pre-Scar.
No, post-Scar. He was still a broody.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, this fic was written before season one was even done airing. So we didn't know anything about anything. It was like, I think I wrote it like after The Blue Spirit came out, which was like a little more than halfway through season one.
Yeah.
Mine would definitely be about Uncle Iroh. He's my
favorite.
I'm just like, I love Iroh. Tea and just chilling. Yep. So zen.
Yep. Oh, yes. I love it.
Okay, MJ, I'm going to toss it to you now. Can you give listeners and viewers your sales pitch for Thick Ass Thieves and The Tales of Temur? That was a Freudian slip. I almost said Thick Ass Thieves. Almost.
So I said, we got to wait for someone to make a porn version. Then we can call it thick ass.
That's
thieves,
someone.
Right?
That's someone's like fanfic erotica is thick ass.
Yeah, thieves. There you go. So you're welcome, a fanfic community. If you want to take that on, I support it.
Go for it.
But yes. Okay. So my sales pitch for thick as thieves is so it's so hard to pitch a sequel because I don't want to spoil book one for anyone that hasn't read it yet.
But that's why I also said the Tales of Tamor. So
yes, okay, true. So it's basically Among Thieves is six thieves teaming up to steal a magical artifact, but every single member of our heist team is a selfish little shit and they're planning on betraying the rest of their crew. Slight spoilers, lots of betraying happens. So in Thick as Thieves, it's kind of the next adventure. There is another heist, two of them, actually. And, you know, just a little more of it's a little bit darker than the first book. We kind of expand a little bit. You get to see a lot more of the world. I know that was something that a lot of readers said from Among Thieves, that they were really wishing that they got a little more meat in the world, and we get to sink into the world a lot more in Thick as Thieves. But yeah, so, and it's a duology and it's completed. So yes, Genevieve. Jim, question.
Hello. Sorry, I'm raising my hand. And I would just like to say
the young lady that, in the back.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. Like, I feel like the whole, like, I wanted more of this world thing is something that a lot of debut authors have to, like, we struggle with, because we are given word counts and we have to be under a certain word count. And so, like, I don't know, whenever I read a book and I think, I wish there was more to this X, Y, and Z, I also now that I'm an author, I also think, how much did their editor make them cut?
Right. Like, well, that's Among Thieves clocked in at 98,000 words because I had to have it under 100,
which is still short.
Which is short.
Yeah.
And Thick as Thieves, though, is about 120,000 words. So I got a little more room to play.
Nice.
So yeah, there's a little more. I got a little longer leash.
I love this for you.
Yes, me too.
I appreciate you calling it a leash. It's just said with like a little bit of like regret. It's like, shit.
You know.
But I totally agree with you, Genevieve. It's like, you kind of come into it as a reader and you just, you kind of consume the book without fully thinking about the author and like the author experience and everything that went into the book. But then when you get more into the writing side, or if you're a reader who is a bit more conscious about that stuff, it just comes to your head that, oh shit, there are so many barriers to entry and all this different kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, I guarantee there are going to be people who read Thick as Thieves and see, and still say like, I wish I could see more of the world. And it's like, it's a duology, deal with it.
I mean, for the record, I would write more books in the world if I had a readership. So it's possible. I have ideas.
Kickstarter, maybe.
There we go. Now we're thinking.
Yeah. All right, Genevieve, pitch us on The Weaver and the Witch Queen.
So The Weaver and the Witch Queen is a fantastical reimagining of the origin story of Gunhild, Mother of Kings, who was a 10th century queen of Norway. I would argue that she was the first official queen of Norway, because her husband's father was Harald Finehair, who united the petty kingdoms of Norway in the late 9th century. And he had a bunch of wives, and some of them were like higher status, but like there wasn't like a queen of Norway because they were all spread out all over the country. But like Gunhild was the first queen of like the whole country, along with her husband Erik Bloodaxe, which is like one of the most metal nicknames ever.
right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like very, it's like metal. Gunhild just being like, yeah, no more harems, no more concubines. Like, I'm gonna jump into this and be the queen. Right. Also, like, fine hair is such like a.
I know, and then the son is Bloodaxe. Like,
well, okay. First, Harald Finehair was Harald Tanglehair because he took a vow to.
Shit.
I know, right? Never cut or comb his hair.
I will never comb my hair. I will just betroth like thousands of wives.
Yes. Yes.
With my tangly hair.
And have like 20 sons, and then arbitrarily choose which one is going to succeed me. So the rest of them will just fight him and fight it out. So that is and that's one of the main conflicts of The Weaver and the Witch Queen, but it's also kind of in the background too. Like, Eric's struggling with his brothers, and Gunhild is struggling with the witches who work for his brothers. So, but their story kind of takes, the women's story kind of takes center stage, and the men are just, you know, hitting each other with swords in the background.
Yeah. But I think they're, it's cool because obviously there's a lot of agency that's given to the women, but the men are also complex in interesting ways too. Yeah. So it's like you play both dynamics really well.
Thanks.
And I love like the kind of mix of history and supernatural elements and all that.
Thanks.
I told MJ, we do like a Patreon exclusive episode series where we talk about what we're reading, and it's like Viking Succession, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, so. I thought that was awesome.
All right. Well, MJ, do you want to give us a little bit of the big inspirations for your book? And then Genevieve, if you want to elaborate a little bit on what you just touched on in terms of, you know, the history of Norway and these really fascinating characters and why you chose that. So MJ, we'll go with you first.
Yeah. So it's not a secret that The Lies of Loch Lomora is like the biggest inspiration for the Tales of Temur. Even, you know, the name of the land, Temur, is a not so subtle nod to Camor, the city from Lies of Loch Lomora. So that is one big inspiration. But also, I started drafting Among Thieves when Game of Thrones was good.
Okay, so right? season three, four, whatever, I guess season maybe, five, six, yeah, was kind of the tail end of when it was,
yep,
it was,
season, yeah, six to me is when it ended. I refuse to acknowledge season seven and eight. But so it was, I was really inspired by the kind of twisty nature of it, and the books as well, Song of Ice and Fire, but where it's, you know, everyone's kind of a shit person, and also some of them you love. And you know, it was obviously, I've read a lot of grimdark stuff since then, but that was really kind of my gateway drug into not fully grimdark, but grimdark adjacent, right? Where you got a lot of morally gray people and a lot of darker storylines. So that was an inspiration. And then the first 20 minutes of The Italian Job.
Okay.
So if anyone's seen The Italian Job,
like that, wait, the original, like the 1960s or the 90s remake?
The 90s remake is the only one, okay, I have seen.
The one, who was the main character in that? That was,
oh my God.
Was it,
well, now the name is gone from my brain.
No, Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. There we go. I was like, that guy from Boston.
The guy from Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so like in the first 20 minutes, it's a heist, but one of the, spoiler for the first 20 minutes of The Italian Job, one of the heist team members fucks over everybody else and takes the loot. And then the rest of the film is the rest of the gang getting together to screw them over. But it just made me think where I was like, okay, well, I want to write a heist because I love Lies of Loch Lomora. What if everyone on the team is the asshole that wants to screw over everybody else? How fun would that be? So that's that. And then in Thick as Thieves, the one that's coming out or is out today when this airs, is more, the characters are starting to be bullied into becoming better people by one another, or some of them are at least. So we do have a little bit, they're growing. Okay. My book, my little murder babies, they're growing.
They have feelings for each other.
They do. They're like, oh my God, I thought I was so broken that I couldn't have feelings about anyone. And then they're like, well, damn it. Now I like these people and I don't want to screw them over anymore, but maybe I do. So
found family.
It's a good time. Yeah, a toxic found family.
Yeah, exactly. The best kind.
Right? Is it?
I don't know. I hope not. Right. In fiction, yes. In real life, no.
Perfect. I love that.
Yeah. All right, cool. And Genevieve, what about you? Do you want to elaborate on what you were talking about earlier?
I have already forgotten what I was talking about earlier. Were we talking?
Inspirations.
Okay. So, yes. I was inspired to write The Weaver and the Witch Queen because I am a big geek for the medieval Icelandic sagas, which are a corpus of literature written in like the 13th, 14th, 15th centuries, but that talks about things that supposedly, allegedly happened in Iceland during the Viking Age and abroad. Like basically, you know, people were like, I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to write down this story that my ancestors have been telling, you know, since we arrived here. And like kind of write out what happened. And as like a genre, they're super fascinating. You've got like like lawsuits about like sheep grazing rights and like honor killings and like so cool. battles on whale carcasses and like all kinds of crazy stuff. But then you also have so much. Even crazier stuff like ghosts and zombies and possessed animals and enchanted weapons. And so it's very clear, like from reading that, that like the supernatural was kind of like just built into the landscape. You know, like weird things happen and people are just like, yep, must be Tuesday. Like, you know, like it's just so that is kind of was kind of like the perfect vehicle for a historical fantasy. You know, yeah. The vehicle's already built. I just got to drive it wherever I want, hopefully not off a cliff by accident. And the other thing about the sagas is that they are very predominantly focused on what the men are doing. Women didn't have legal representation back in this time period. And so like in a corpus of literature that is largely dealing with lawsuits, women didn't really have that representation. However, that is not to say that they did not have ways of getting what they wanted. Have you, either of you seen The Northmen?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So without spoiling anything, the two main women in that are two examples of like saga archetypes. So you have the powerful high status woman who works through her men, who like has men do her bidding. And then you have the sorceress who gains agency through magic. Yeah. And Gunnhild, Mother of Kings, is both of those things.
Yeah.
In the sources and in The Weaver and the Witch Queen, she's not quite like doing really any political maneuvering yet, because the story ends before she like meets her arch nemesis and like actually has to participate in politics. But that was kind of my inspiration for the story, was just kind of building out. She's like one of the coolest women in the sagas because she actually does stuff. A lot of the times the women are just there. Others, and we have no idea how they're feeling about things. And other times, like we do hear what they're feeling, and they do awesome things and stab people and hit people in the nose with bags of silver. And like they're very fierce. But by and large, at least in the more like historical, like adjacent ones, like they're not like warriors.
Mm-hmm,
but right. They do have ways of getting what they want, like Gunnhild. So she was kind of the perfect vehicle. She's such a hot mess.
I adore her. She's so like sassy. That's not even the right word. Just like sharp. She's just sharp. Yeah. I love her so much.
Thank you. Me too.
Oh, I love it though. We're going to elaborate a lot on this in our follow-up masterclass episode.
Oh, yeah. Like,
sorry, I'm trying not to talk too much about it now. Chill, but it's all good. Cool.
Oh, yeah. My God, yeah.
But you mentioned like zombies, and I was like, oh, yes. Fuck, what were they called in Skyrim? I think it was like Draugr.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, that was like my first introduction to that kind of side of Norse mythology, and I was like, yes. Oh shit, now we got some good stuff coming. Yeah, yes. But stay tuned next episode for more on that. But you're both in unique positions in your writing careers in that you've just published your second books. So this question is for both of you, and I'll toss it out and we can riff on it. How have your experiences with your debut releases compared to book two?
We've talked about this a lot with each other. So this is, okay. I'm like, what do I say publicly? And what should we save for the DMs?
Yeah.
I feel like that's like an author, like sort of like MO at this point. It's just like, what can I say publicly?
It is, because there's like, not only is publishing itself like a very opaque industry, there's also been so much bad behavior by authors recently concerning reviews and reviewers. And so like, it's not like a PR thing, like, oh, I better be careful about what I say. It's more like, am I going to accidentally say something that is going to harm somebody else inadvertently? Right. So like, it's partially that too. But like, and literally like you'll see people on Twitter be like, hey author, save it for the DMs. Like you do not need to publicly blast reviewers. There is a power imbalance, like no matter how big of an author you are. So like this is, you know, like giving readers space to like discuss your work critically without feeling like the author's gonna pop in at any moment and be like, I heard you were reading my book. Yes, a jump scare. Exactly. So yes. How did our debut experiences differ from our sophomore experiences? I believe was the question. Oh, there's a cat here.
A cat. Sorry.
Hello, cat.
Sorry. I'm very distracted by adorable cats. Okay. So, well, I'll toss one thing out, is that I think my attitude has changed, where I was a lot more tentative. Sorry, the cat just walked like right in front of the camera and it was delightful.
It's perfect that a black cat appeared at this moment when we're talking about this particular subject.
His name is Binks.
Oh, hi, Binks. Oh,
Binks, of course. His name is Binks.
But he's like, if I bought the cat from Hocus Pocus, like on Wish, like that's my Binks. Nice. This is my Binks.
I love him.
He has one brain cell.
He is a precious void, and I'm here for it.
Sorry, continue.
No, I was just going to say, I think that, you know, with my first book, the debut, I was a lot more hesitant to do stuff myself. I was a lot more like just kind of waiting on my publisher to do things or communicate stuff to me because I didn't know what I was doing, right? Like, it's the first rodeo. I had no idea what was going on or what I was allowed to do. And my motto with my second book has been ask for forgiveness, not permission. So I just like have been taking a lot more things into my own hands and booking my own stuff. And, you know, it's been less stressful that way because I feel like I have a little more agency in how things go. And I just have a better understanding of the industry and like better expectations for communication and things like that. Whereas like, you know, I had only been in corporate America before where it's like, you pretty much, you send someone an email, you're going to get an email back within 2 business days. Maybe, right? And in publishing, that's just not the case. I mean, it is sometimes. Shout out to my current publicist. She's incredible. She emails me back same day, like every time. I love her. But like, you know, a lot of times it's just not the industry standard. And I didn't know that yet. So I think that's a difference as well. It's just my expectations, my attitude, my mindset has been a lot different and a lot healthier, I think, for this second book versus my first one.
Yeah, it could be the difference between, say, jaded and pragmatic.
Yeah.
You're just viewing things through, you know, a more realistic lens as opposed to the rose colored glasses of debut where you're like, lead me along. I'm not
right. Well, and that's the thing. I think that's a really great dichotomy to discuss because I think that I could have gotten jaded after, you know what I mean?
And we know authors who are jaded.
Correct. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't blame them. It's a rough industry. It is tough. It is not like a friendly, cuddly kitten industry. It is not a Binks snuggly cat industry.
No brain cell industry. Yeah.
But like, you know, it's, I think I'm happy with my like decision. I guess it was a decision to go the other way and to go like, okay, well, you know, I was frustrated because these things were out of my control. I can either be just sad about that or I can just like take control of as everything I possibly can.
Yeah.
And see how that plays out.
It's like bringing matches in a tank of gasoline to the bridge. You know?
Yep.
Not burning the bridge.
No.
Not yet.
We're just prepared for whatever may come.
Exactly. Yeah. Precautionary measures.
There you go. So yeah. What about you, Genevieve?
So for me, I had my debut experience, even in the pandemic, like I am lucky to have had such an amazing team at my publisher. Like they were all just amazing. They continue to be amazing for The Weaver and the Witch Queen. Like they've like upped their game now that there's like in-person stuff. I mean, like I have an itinerary. I never thought I would have an itinerary.
I love
so, like, I have been like truly blessed and sometimes I feel like we should do like a debut author roundtable and just talk about how different our experiences were because there are so like there's such even in our
such a disparity
the class of 2021 dare I say
know, I always there has been too.
Yeah me too there yeah for people who don't know we also debuted the same year 2021 so there's just like such a spectrum of experiences and I am like consider myself extremely lucky to have had like to be on the good end of the spectrum. So for me, everything surrounding The Weaver and the Witch Queen has been my struggles have been more around like the process of actually writing the book rather than like promoting the book. I struggled. This is the fourth draft of this book that finally got accepted by my editor because I wrote The Witch's Heart so long ago, and I think they were expecting The Witch's Heart, but slightly different. And I could not write The Witch's Heart again if I tried. I wrote it 12 years ago.
You're a different person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, like, there were so many times when I was actually, like, drafting Weaver that I was just like, can I do this? Like, do I know how to do this? Like, I like, and I also had internalized a lot of criticism of The Witch's Heart too. So I found myself, there were like voices in the back of my head being like, people are going to think this part is stupid. like just trying to anticipate how people are going to react to like certain stuff. And that like consumed me for like the first year that I was working on
that'll
the book.
Rack
and,
you, right?
Yes. And it was only finally when I let go of those little voices and really like started connecting with my characters that I kind of let go of that a little bit. And it was also, you know, writing something that is more historical versus mythological and being like, okay, there's already so much information and misinformation and prior, like people with prior beliefs about like the Vikings and the Viking Age. So I'm like, I wrote, I think my author's note is like 5 pages long. And it's just like, hey, here's what I changed and why. Please leave me alone. No, it's not with meant love. To be with love.
With love, fuck off.
It wasn't meant to be defensive or anything, but it was just meant to be like, hey, here are some things.
Yeah.
Like here you go. Here for people who know context. What I'm talking about,
yeah.
It might be defensive, but like I really hope it is also like a teaching sort of thing too, because yeah. I don't know. So
it's like you have to kind of distinguish, this is not a biography about this person. This is an interpretation of their
life. It's a historical fantasy, historical,
yeah, right?
Exactly. Not hystic, not a biography. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I honestly tried to do the same thing in the appendix of The Witch's Heart too. Like I tried to like objectively be like, here are what our sources say about these characters, because like people have really strong opinions on Norse mythology. Like, especially considering it is also like an active religion. Like, there are Norse pagans. Like, there are people who worship these gods that are characters in my book. So like that was an extra level of like having to like navigate that and like be cognizant of that. And just like if there's one thing that I've learned from both books, it's that like you cannot anticipate people's reactions, because every single person is coming to your work with a different perspective. So some people might be like, this is the perfect book, and others might be like, this is the worst pile of garbage I have ever read and it should have never been published. So it's like it's no use trying to please people. You just have to like do the best you can.
Yeah.
For yourself and in your heart and the story you're trying to tell. So
I love that. I think that's such an important, it's great though. That's an important lesson that I think every writer needs to learn before, or after you start sharing your work with the world, is that it's like, there is no one story that's perfect for every reader. And like the things I like to try to remember myself, like I don't read my own reviews anymore. I did for the first book, because you can't not. It's your first time sharing, you know, your book baby with the world. I'm not engaging with the reviews. I was just kind of lurking. but now I don't, you know what I mean? If it's a published review in a trade publication, I'll read it. Or, you know, sometimes a blog, if they tag me, I'll read it. But I'm not going on Goodreads. I'm not going on Amazon. I'm not looking for reviews to read.
That's for the best.
Right. And and everybody tells you that before your first book comes out, and you don't listen. You won't. It's fine. but like when I would get down about seeing those reviews that were poor, because everyone's going to get 1 stars, I would then go to like my favorite books in the world and like the ones that blew my fucking mind. And I would read the 1-star reviews on there, not as like a hee-hee-hee kind of thing, but more as like a, oh, that's right. Like somebody hates this book. Somebody hates this book that like changed my life. It's okay that somebody hates my book too. So I think that's a good lesson to learn. It's hard though. It is hard because you want, especially I feel like I have been struggling with this a little bit with the sequel, because it's in the same storyline. It's in the same world as Among Thieves. So like, yeah, you know, obviously like some people hated Among Thieves. They're not going to read Thick as Thieves. There's some people that really loved Among Thieves. And I'm so grateful for those readers. And I'm terrified that they're going to be disappointed by the sequel. You know what I mean? I thankfully didn't have to. I finished writing Thick as Thieves before Among Thieves came out.
So jealous.
I know. I got so lucky. So like it's been more in like the ramp up, right? And like the final edits, and like now that I'm like doing promotions and stuff, that I'm a little nervous and scared that people are gonna hate it. But I thankfully got to escape trying to write with those voices whispering in the back of my head about
yes,
about stuff that would have made it so much harder to draft it.
I identify with this on a spiritual level. and also, I think it's also really important to point out that authors are not given PR classes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of like, again, like the bad behavior that I mentioned. Like, it's just like, did your agent not tell you to not engage with reviews?
Just don't reply.
Just don't reply. Like, you hate to see somebody ruin their own career. Because they went after a 4-star reviewer. Like, 4 stars is amazing. Are you
four
kidding me?
4 stars is great. Yeah.
So it's like, that. Right? So it's, I wish that there was more, like, I don't know. I'm lucky to have found a little community, like, within the industry. But a lot of debut authors in TradPub don't have that. Like,
yeah,
or maybe they've never even been on like Book Twitter or like Bookstagram or Book Talk, right. And they don't know like these things.
For people that don't know, Genevieve and I, along with Hannah Long, HM Long, were the three founding members of our debut support group, basically.
Yes.
and we built, like, it was for just all the adult books debuting across. I mean, we had a sci-fi fantasy subgroup, but we had the romance authors in there, we had thriller authors in there, right? Gosh, I think there was like 200 people in the group by the end of it.
Wow.
But yeah, it was fantastic. I am so glad that the three of us found each other, because like, obviously now, like, we're still really good friends. Right. But like, a lot of my really strong friendships in the book community are people that I met through that group.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And without that group, I think I might have completely crumbled during my debut year.
100%.
If you are, you know, out there exploring TradPub or whatever, I would definitely recommend or self-pub, honestly, regardless mm-hmm. of what path you're pursuing.
No, just like seek
find
a
people, yes, that are doing the same thing you're doing, though. So like, if you are the only TradPub author in a group of self-pub authors, you're not going to maybe find the same support for the same issues that you're having, because they'll have different struggles, right? It's just, yeah, I would recommend for sure finding people that know what you're going through and can scream into the void at them when you get frustrated or sad or, you know, whatever.
I talked to one of our patrons recently, just through DM, about like how to just put yourself out there. He's like, I'm an extrovert in real life, but I don't know why I'm just not able to like engage with the community. I'm just like, just fucking put yourself out there and you will find the people that you vibe with, like,
yes,
sort of a similar sense of humor or similar experiences and all this kind of stuff. In my case, it's like, I just started a podcast and it's just like, throw shit at a wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And here I am, like, and it's like, MJ and I are really good friends and I met a ton of amazing authors in Trad and self-pub, but you just need to engage with the community and figure out what works for you, who you click with,
and
really like hold on to that. And like the 4-star reviews, cherish it, like cherish the people that you come across, because when it comes down to it, like, I think we talked to Chuck Wendig about this. He tries to explain certain things to his wife and it just goes over her head.
Yeah.
And he's you need writer
people
friends
in
who
the
understand
industry. Yeah.
Yes.
The fucked up nature of this thing that we're in.
Right. That we're all trying to do.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I've said to like somebody just in my life, like, you know, I'll like complain about, I don't know, like, I'm just afraid that people will think this and this about the book. And then they'll be like, well, who cares what people think?
Right.
It's like, I do. It's
like me.
The basis of my career. Like,
right.
People
that's
think
exactly
of my work.
It. Like, yes. Like,
but other writers will be like, yeah, I get it. You know, like,
yes.
So, yeah.
It's like, you don't, you know, you have to write the book that is in your heart and that you can stand spending thousands of hours with.
Yep.
You need to do that, because if you're just like writing to chase a trend or whatever, you're going to be miserable.
Right.
And you'll probably miss the boat on the trend anyways, because publishing is slow.
Yeah.
But you need to find your friends in the writing community. And book people are so cool, man. Book people are the best people. I love book people.
It's very unlikely that you'll find a toxic found family in book world.
Because... right. Yeah, exactly. And if you do,
we're kind of like, we're all
find
a bit
a
like
new found family.
Yeah, we're all a little bit like weird in the head. But
in the coolest way. The fun people are all weird
in a loving
head.
In a loving way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, MJ, on that note of right to your heart and all that kind of stuff, if you could each get one dream project or idea or something you've already written, picked up and published right now, right this minute, July 25th, what would it be?
So I have a book that I wrote during the pandemic. And I planned out a whole trilogy, and it is nerdy as fuck, you guys. I created two languages with grammatical rules and, you know, structures and different parts of speech that mean different things and all this
Tolkien
stuff.
Tolkien, you?
I know. Well, I really did. I listened to a bunch of podcasts about Tolkien's like process, and I took big time inspiration from that. And actually, the reason why I created the languages was because I wanted my, like Tolkien's work, I wanted my city names and my location names to be in those languages and to have a history and have a, you know, but yeah, so it's a fantasy adventure trilogy. It's so fun. There's like different races of beings. It's not all humans, and there's magic and there's adventures and cavalries, and oh my god, it's so fun. So yeah, I really, really hope that I can get that picked up. If I can't, I plan to indie publish that series, because
is that the high fantasy that you sent to me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It is, yeah, the book of my soul. Basically, it follows a cowardly magician who gets roped into a plot to take over the world against his own will. And it's so fun. Yeah.
I love the idea of just like, yeah, it's like you said cavalry, and I'm just like Riders of Rohan.
Yes.
It on.
100%. May have been listening to Howard Shore on repeat as I was drafting. Maybe. It's fine.
Maybe. Just like maybe thinking of like, you know, just Pippin, just leading right? the charge.
Aomer, man, come on.
Or sorry, Mary. Yes. No, that was Mary. That was Mary.
Love
that
me
was Mary
some Carl Urban.
Yeah, that was not Pippin.
That makes me think of the meme that's like, fantasy is where Carl Urban looks like this, and it's him as Aomer, and like, sci-fi is where Carl Urban looks like this, and it's him as Bones from the 2009 Star Trek movie.
Yes! I love it so much.
Oh, good. And Genevieve, what about you?
So I have only scratched the surface of Gunhild, Mother of Kings, life in The Weaver and the Witch Queen. Like, literally, it ends right before she meets her lifelong arch nemesis. And so if I were to have like a dream project picked up, it would be three more Gunhild books.
Oof. Yes.
Like take her to the end of her life. Like, I want to just follow her until
Ace,
the end.
Ace, are you listening? Let's do this. Let's make it happen.
And, I'm supposed to be coming up with another pitch, because I do have a third book under contract. But that's all my heart wants to write, is to just stay, is these characters. I just want to stay in this world. And I had to cut so much from Weaver, because it was, the original draft was very long. And as such, a lot of the like fun side character stuff had to get cut, unfortunately. And so to be able to build that out while continuing Gunhild's story would just like be a dream, literally a dream. But also, like, I did also have like spin-off plans for The Witch's Heart too that never came to fruition, and I was very attached to those at the time. So for all I know, once I start working on my next thing, maybe I won't want to write Gunhild's story anymore. I don't know. If the words are coming, I'm gonna let them come, so we'll see what happens.
I want more Gunhild.
Yeah. I do too. Thanks. And also, so like a fun peek, so I got to beta read an earlier draft,
a very early the first
and I,
draft
and
that
I,
was
I tried
was that
I
the
tried
first to, one
it was it was the first it was 40,000 words longer than the book ended up being,
and I plowed through that draft. It was so good.
You.
It was so
thanks.
Good still. Yeah. And I just remember that the file name when it came over was Loom of Doom.
That is
and
true.
You were like, that's not the final title.
There's a lot of contention about the title. Also,
I do love
like
the Loom of Doom, though. That sounds yes. so epic.
Blood
great. Axe, man. That's like a Blood Axe kind of vibe right there.
The Loom of Doom was inspired by, there's like a poem in one of the sagas where the Valkyries are weaving the fates of men on a loom strung with like entrails, and they're using like actual weapons as the weaving tools. Oof. And the loom weights are men's severed heads, and it's just nice. So metal. So I was
so
like
metal.
Loom of Doom, because there's this really close association between like fate and like women's textile work in the Norse myths and sagas. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so Loom of Doom, there originally was a lot more weaving in the book, but I had to cut it. So the Weaver and the Witch Queen, yeah, Abney weaves like once, in the book.
Yeah.
So,
but she's still technically a weaver.
She is technically a weaver.
She's like, she's also a healer though. So it's kind of like, I don't know.
But the healer and the witch queen just doesn't have the same.
Doesn't have that alliteration. Doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for some party games. I know you've both read each other's books.
Yes.
So, yes. MJ, marry, fuck, kill for the Weaver and the Witch Queen.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to marry, and forgive me if I butcher any of the pronunciations of these names. I'm so sorry. But I'm going to marry Thorolf. He seems,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm into it.
He's a good man. He's
marriage material.
He is.
Yeah, right? Anyway, to go on.
Yeah, yep. No, he's definite marriage material. I'm gonna fuck Haldor. Also marriage material, but
yes. I love
Haldor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. Like,
yep. And I'm gonna kill Eric. Now I'm king. Is that how that works?
my boy. Like,
sorry,
I'm now.
About to me.
Did you ever see the tweet that was like, comfort character, that is a man covered in blood? Like, that is me and Eric Bloodaxe.
With Bloodaxe. Yeah.
My favorite fratricide man. Multiple fratricide committer.
I do love Eric, though. He gets,
He's moody, though. He's moody as fuck.
He's moody. I love me a moody guy, though. Mm-hmm. But he gets, in fiction and in real life, it would be very annoying. He gets like, you know what I mean? He feel like he gets deeper and deeper the more you get to know him in the story. And I do like that. But I just want to be king. So sorry.
Okay.
That's fair.
We all know MJ's greedy. She was upgraded from a troglodyte to a dragon. True. So she is greedy. She's
very
a snog.
Greedy. I have my hoard of books, honestly.
Yeah. All right, Genevieve, marry, fuck, kill for Thick as Thieves or Among Thieves.
Please forgive me that I have not read Thick as Thieves, and it has been 3 years since I read Among Thieves, because I read
You're
an
like,
early
what are
version.
The names of
so I'm like, okay,
well,
I was like, I know who I'm talking about, I just don't remember their names.
Yes.
Fuck Raya. Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Hatchet's in the bed, baby.
Hatchet's in the bed, yeah. Mary. Tristan?
Okay.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, No, I was just about to drop a big spoiler. I'm not going to say.
Oh, please don't. Please don't. Because I want to be.
You're
I
like,
be
you're
going to
marry into
it.
Nothing.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. I remember. Yes. Yes. Who am I going to kill? Probably Clem.
Smart.
Fuck that guy.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
So on board with that.
Yeah. Worse.
Okay. MJ, if Genevieve were a movie or TV show, which would she be?
Oh. Okay, bear with me. I haven't seen a lot of Viking media. I'm going to say How to Train Your Dragon.
I like this answer.
Yes!
Thank you.
It's Viking
Thank
adjacent,
you.
But mm-hmm. it's precious and wonderful,
yes.
just like Genevieve.
And silly. Thank you.
And silly,
Thank you.
Yes. So there you go.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, Genevieve, what about MJ?
I'm going to say The Witcher.
Ooh.
Because yeah, like it is grimdark with like morally gray characters. Yeah, sure, why not? And there's like and it's got an awesome soundtrack. And I feel like if Among Thieves were a movie, it would have an awesome soundtrack. So
yeah. Love this
I'm
answer. I'm here for
that.
It.
Yeah. Okay, Genevieve, who's your favorite thief of all time? Fictional or real? It doesn't even have to be just a fictional character.
Oh my gosh. That's really hard.
Am I going to have to say my favorite Viking?
Yeah.
I don't know any Vikings. Eric Bloodaxe.
Eric Bloodaxe.
He is in fact a Viking.
Yeah.
Perfect. I nailed it.
Favorite thief. Oh my gosh. Why am I completely blanking?
Because that's what happens when
anything,
questions like this
yes.
come up. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, wait.
I'm the worst about this. I just fuck with people.
Or you're the
I'm
best.
Like, I'm just like, who is a thief?
Right?
I don't know who is a thief. I'm like looking at my bookshelf like, I'm just going to say Loki because Loki
Ooh,
is
yeah.
sneaky as fuck and would definitely
yeah. oh, heck
steal
yeah.
things and has stolen things in some of the stories. So
yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely counts. 100%.
For me, it's definitely Robin Hood, but from the Disney version where they're animals.
That's a perfect answer. I'm like, why can't I think of the like specific character archetype, like specifics of this character archetype?
Trick question. Like, it's actually MJ. She's a pickpocket.
Shh. Don't put me on blast. Come on.
Side jobs, man. We're writers. We have to find side jobs.
Right. It's my side hustle is literally hustling people.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole duology is written from MJ's perspective.
Yeah. It's actually an autobiography.
Exactly. A fantasy autobiography. Okay. Now we're going to get personal.
No, I'm actually magical.
Thank you, MJ. My sweet, sweet dragon. Now we're going to get personal. I want each of you to say something that you like about the other.
I like everything about Genevieve. I mean, I do, but that's cheating. I really like that you're a very supportive and wonderful friend, and that you're great to talk to and will listen to me talk about things all the time that I'm frustrated with.
It's funny.
We're like trauma bonded, I feel.
Yeah. Oh yes. I appreciate that you I can't words very good. I'm good with words on paper, but not out loud. So please forgive me, because this whole podcast, I feel like I'm just like I can't words.
No, oh my God, you've been great.
Yes. I'm trying to think of like how I want to word this. It's like I think it's just so freaking awesome that you like didn't give up and get jaded, and that like you are like, you know, going into this with a healthy attitude and like just being awesome. So like, because I am such a pessimist. I'm so negative all the time. I try not to be as loud about it, but I feel like every time a minor inconvenience happens, I'm like, it's the end of the world. Like, I'm just going to go home and just rot on my couch.
You're just living in your own personal Ragnarok all the time.
I mean, earlier today, I got pissy because some lady starts doing a Zoom call in the middle of her Panera, like while I'm in the zone, like trying to write. And like, she's not wearing headphones. And I felt bad for the person she was talking to, because I'm like, does this lady know that the whole Panera can hear her?
Yeah. Right.
Like, so, and, but stuff like that, I'm just like, this has ruined my whole day. Because I let little things ruin my day.
I will never recover.
And yeah, and yes. So like, if I could be more like you and just like not become jaded, But the second book I've heard is always a struggle. So I feel like we're just in the same boat and we're just like bailing as hard as we can.
Right. But then it's all uphill from here, maybe. Hopefully. Maybe.
Maybe.
Trauma buddies.
Trauma buddies.
All right. Well, beautiful. MJ, you are awesome. Genevieve, I've only met you just today, and you're awesome too. So I'm really, really thankful that we all get to hang out. But to close out, Genevieve, if you could give listeners and viewers a good bit of soundbite writing advice, and B, tell us a weird or random fact that you find to be utterly fascinating.
Okay. A piece of writing advice is kind of like we've already covered, write for yourself, not for the market. Like MJ said earlier, the market changes and publishing is slow, and if you're like, I'm going to capitalize on this trend, by the time you get that book published, that trend is going to be out of style for like 2 years. And a random fun fact
or weird fact. You dropped like entrail loom.
That's what I was gonna say, like a random Norse fact.
I like
maybe.
Go back to the entrail loom, because that's really, that's metal.
It's like the most metal of facts I think we've had on the show, to be honest.
Yeah. I feel like there definitely is like a Scandinavian black metal band that has utilized that to some degree.
Oh, 100%.
I hope so.
Oh, totally.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe they're called Loom of Doom.
That would be so metal.
If anyone out there is starting a band, Loom of
Doom. Boom.
Blood Axe. Oh my God. You got that shit. It's all here. Yes. It's all here. All right. Well, Genevieve and MJ, congratulations again on the releases of your books. Pick up Thick as Thieves. Go pick up The Weaver and the Witch Queen. Read Among Thieves. Read The Witch's Heart. It's all fantastic. Yeah.
It sure is a book.
Yeah. It sure is,
sure
a,
is
book.
A book.
There are words in
it's
it.
It's got a cover in the words and
it's
stuff.
Got a cover in the words and stuff.
All right. Well, this was a ton of fun, and I'm really, really happy for both of you. And for anyone who contributes to our Patreon at $10 or more a month, there will be a reading by Genevieve from The Weaver and the Witch Queen. So go check that out. Genevieve, can you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
I am by far the most active on Instagram at Jen Gornacek. That's Jen with a G. I also have a Facebook page where I'm occasionally compelled to post, as well as a Twitter that I never use anymore because it's bad for my mental health. I also did just make a Threads, actually, but I haven't posted anything there yet as of the time we're recording. So we'll see. But Instagram's my happy place.
Aw, yeah, Instagram's good. I came into it through tattooing, so I'm just like,
nice.
I just see like half naked people all day. On that it's that's tattooing in a nutshell, MJ.
There you go. I mean, you have to get to the skin. It makes sense.
Yeah. You can also follow SFF Addicts on Instagram and Twitter, and now Threads at SFF Addicts Pod, or you can follow me at Adrian M. Gibson. MJ, what about you?
I am everywhere. Literally everywhere.
Instagram, mind.
TikTok, Twitter, Threads, Facebook, Blue Sky, all of them at MJ Kuhn Books. There all you right. go.
Perfect. So that's it for this episode. Stay tuned next week for part two with Genevieve to hear our mini masterclass on Norse mythology and culture. Now, keep reading, keep imagining, and we'll see you next time on SFF Addicts.